We have the scripture passage of the beginning of the human race, a gospel passage with the temptation of Jesus, and sitting in the middle of it, one of the foundational scripture passages to one of the church's doctrines called original sin. Does the church still teach original sin? Here's help. The correct answer is yes, it does. It is a required belief in our faith that there's something that happened back at the beginning of humanity that has caused an impact that has continued on down through humanity to our day and will continue until the second coming. Is it important? Yes. Here's a direct quote, and I invite you to fact-check me on this when you go home. Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraphs 403 through 405. It starts with this. Following St. Paul, second reading, the church has always taught that the overwhelming misery which oppresses men and their inclination toward evil and death cannot be understood apart from their connection with Adam's sin and the fact that he has transmitted to us a sin with which we are all born afflicted, a sin which is the death of the soul. What did the original sin do? Recall major moments. When God creates Adam, out of the dust of the earth, forms it into a man, and then he does what? He breathes life into Adam. And that's more than just he breathed air into his nostrils. He's breathing his life, his spirit, into Adam. And he is created what? Full of grace, an original state of righteousness, holiness. He creates Eve from her, from taking from his flesh. She also is in a state of original holiness, full of grace. What happened when they exercised their free will, in which they had also been given, and exercised it badly? What did it do? It's hard to find good analogies, but I can pull in one from my own life. Before I went to seminary, way back, long before these guys were around, way back, from high school, I went to technical school, have an associate's degree in applied sciences and x-ray technology, which means I was a registered x-ray tech. What do you think one of the first things is they do when you start x-ray training? You spend half the day in class, half the day in the hospital in an x-ray department. Anyone who is a child or of childbearing age, unless the area being x-rayed is the abdominal pelvic area, you lay a rubber lead shield over them so that they don't get exposed in that very sensitive area, because the reproductive system is very sensitive to radiation, so that you're protecting it, so that you don't cause genetic damage. If you're going to be in the room while x-rays are going, like during fluoroscopy or something, you yourself are wearing a, from neck to ankles, rubber leaded apron to protect yourself so that you don't have genetic damage, because then if your own genes are damaged and you pass them on to a child, what's that child going to deal with? You know, if you remember what happened during World War II at the end with Japan, we dropped two nuclear weapons on Nagasaki and one on Hiroshima, and one of the long-term impacts that they're still dealing with over there is genetic damage, birth defects, and people who have been sterilized by that radiation. So, what happened to Adam and Eve, and what did they do to us? Remember, their human nature is undamaged, uncorrupted, not weakened at all. But then they exercise that free will badly, and that sin has now stripped themselves of that original holiness. They are not full of grace. And everybody from them down to us now is deprived of that state of grace. We're not born under the kingdom of God. We're born under the dominion of... We're born under the dominion of Satan. So again, you know, I said this before, but if you'll notice, the next time you're at a baptism, what's one of the parts of the baptismal rite before you get to the "I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit"? There is a minor exorcism. You're being delivered from that bondage to the kingdom of Satan and then brought into the kingdom of God. That said, we need to understand that that really is an authentic church teaching, which means as Catholics we are, is voluntary to believe it? I've got this side coming along, can we get the rest of you? Now, that is a required, we are required to believe this as Catholics. It is a truth of our faith, which means we also need to appreciate the underpinnings to it. This is coming from Scripture, which we need to believe is the inspired Word of God. It's not just some guys who were sitting down writing stories to try to explain what was going on in the world. These are things that are events that have an impact that lasts. Scripture is the Word of God. We are required to accept that, to believe it, and then to act on it. They failed to take God at His word. How did Satan do it? How did Satan manage to trap them, trip them up, and deceive them into contradicting the Word of God? First thing he does is he sows seeds of doubt to Eve. Did God really say you can't eat the fruit of any of the trees in this garden? Did God say that? No, just one tree. She embellishes on it, said, well, we can eat the fruit of all the trees except for this one. We shouldn't even touch it unless we die. So Satan builds the doubt and then actually goes into contradiction of God's word. You won't die. That God's holding out on you. He knows if you eat this, you'll be like God. You won't need Him. And so you get lust of the flesh. You notice this looks like really good. Be pleasurable to have, to eat. Then lust of the eye, desirable because I will really gain something from it. And then pride. Hey, if I do this, I won't need God. Now, if you go back to the gospel passage, you notice Satan's doing the same thing, trying to trap Jesus. Yeah. It helps to remember where Jesus came from before he went out 40 days into the desert to fast. He was at the Jordan with John the Baptist, his cousin, and is baptized. And as he comes up out of the waters, the heavens open. The Spirit descends down upon him in the form of a dove, and he hears this voice that says, I'm testing your memory. Behold, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. What does he say to Jesus, Satan? If you are the Son of God. Just turn these stones into bread. Lust of the flesh. You're hungry. Take care of it. And again, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself off this highest part of the temple. Let people see who you are. You know, Scripture says God will send His angels to keep you from even stubbing your toe on a stone. Show off. Let Him see how great you are. Lust of the eye and pride. And then the big one, hey, if you go through all this, you're really going to suffer. But if you'll just bow down before and worship me, since I have authority, all the kingdoms of the earth, I will give them to you if you bow down and worship me. So, you know, this is showing us what happened. But it's also showing us how to defeat it. Do we see it? That methodology, if you will, is still very much Satan's primary tool. He keeps trying to get us to doubt the Word of God. Right now, it's a doubt that it's even the Word of God in the first place, or in some places, it's even doubt that God even exists. Because if God doesn't exist, then it's a free-for-all. We can just go do whatever. Satan loves to cast seeds of doubt to destroy our faith. And then loves to lead us from that doubt into contradiction. There are, God, you could go for hours with examples, but did God really say that we were created in his image and likeness? Darwin, evolution, we're just accidents that sort of somehow or other more or less came to be, and you know, we're really not much different or any better than the rest of the animal kingdom on planet Earth. There's nothing special about us. There's no special relationship. We're just creatures and we act on instinct and impulse and desire. Did God really say? Yes, he did. We were created in his image and likeness. Did God really say that in his image and likeness, he created us male and female? I've lost track of how many genders people say that we have these days. But look at the doubt and the impact of the doubt and the contradiction in our world today. Did God really say, "The man shall leave his home, a woman shall leave their home, they shall come together and become one flesh"? Did God really say, "Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth"? You see how Satan works? So doubt. Lead it to contradiction, lead it to denial, and lead it into basically the abyss of all the sorrows and the sadnesses, the violence, the harm, the despair that surround us in our world today. The antidote is see what Jesus did. Every time Satan tries to sow doubt, how does Jesus respond? With and in the authority of God's word. He answers every single one. He does not waver, he does not falter. And he goes far beyond, because there's one more piece to this. Have you ever noticed, like it was in the second reading from Paul's letter to the church in Rome, it keeps putting the blame, if you will, for original sin on who? It's called Adam's sin. Why is it? Adam didn't eat the fruit first, did he? Who ate the fruit first? Eve did. So why is it Adam's sin? Unfortunately, they sort of did a Reader's Digest condensed version of the story of Adam and Eve. It left a few little pieces out, because what did God charge Adam with? To tend, guard the garden. And who did he let in? Who should he have not let in? And then just stood back while the one he should not have let in kept tempting his perfectly created for him spouse? Adam's failure to guard, and especially he fails to guard Eve. Dwell on that a little bit, gentlemen. Adam should have been willing to do what for Eve and in protection of that garden? To die. What will we see Jesus doing as we come to the close of Lent and enter into Passion Sunday and Holy Week, Good Friday? He makes up for Adam's failure. He gives himself on the cross, gives up his life, dies for his bride, the church, that she might have his risen life restored in word and in sacrament. So going through Lent, remember and be watchful, attentive to any time that Satan tries to take an opportunity to cast doubt in your heart and mind. And remember that your defense against it is in the infallible Word of God, divinely inspired, and in the strength of the grace of the sacraments, especially the Eucharist. Believe on it, stand on it, walk in it. Defeat Satan like we see Jesus do, and be ready to enter into the kingdom at the end of time.